everyone. My name is Matt Peterson. I'm the founder of Hydrating Humanity and pastor Awake Church. And this is called Into the Deep. So welcome, and so glad you are a part of this today. Special day today, interviewing and having a conversation with my friend, Cameron Urie.
Yes.
I'm going to introduce him, and I've known him for a long time. It's going to be a lot of fun here. But what Into the Deep is about is, you know, at that moment that Jesus stepped into the boat with Peter's boat, and he preached from there. And then when he was done preaching, he turned to Peter one-on-one and said, let's go out into the deep, just you and I. And so I can't imagine what the conversation was like out there, in addition to a supernatural catch. And this show is really a little bit about that, of the supernatural things that God is doing and has done. And we want to go into the deep a bit here and see what the Father has to say. So thanks for joining, Cameron.
Yes, it's an honor. I'm very excited.
Great to have you here. And we have known each other for a long time. I'm trying to think.
It was
what year was that?
The year 2004.
2004. At a conference.
It was a worship conference, 2004. Yes. It was my first Christian conference.
Was it really?
After being saved for 4 years.
Okay. So first. Fairly new, believe, never been to a Christian conference.
No, I didn't even know what conference
you walked
was.
In. I remember because, of course, your now wife, Susie, who was on staff. I was on staff there as well with Susie.
Yes.
She wanted to be married.
I didn't know that.
And in walks this, are you 6'7"?
I'm 6'7".
6'7" man, and Susie's eyes lit up. And, of course, you met.
We met, and we met in January. I do not suggest that to younger one, but we met in January, and I asked her to marry me in February 14th.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding. I didn't remember that.
Yeah, wow. And then we got married 4th of July.
Okay.
Yeah, but it was really supernatural.
Yeah.
It was.
Well, you were ready. You were older as well. So you had so a lot of life experience.
Yeah, and I knew, you know, it was one of those moments that your heart knew. This is it.
This is it. The Lord highlighted this.
He really highlighted this.
Made it plain. And you have a wonderful marriage.
Oh,
and we love Susie so much. And
it's not a perfect marriage, but it's a great marriage.
There isn't a perfect one.
I always tell Jesus, I say, or tell people, like, even if you find a perfect person to marry to, still marriage is not perfect because he's the perfect one. We are kind of married to him, but look at our relationship.
Yeah, we're the imperfect part of this side of this.
Yes, but it's wonderful. It's great. And you don't want to change it for anything.
No, that's right. Well, the Lord has really put something together beautiful with the two of you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, and it's amazing what God has done. I've had an opportunity over these last 21 years to watch you two together. And what God has done, it's really remarkable. Yeah. So I know that, and for our audience here, that you grew up in Iran. As a Muslim as well. Can you tell us a little bit about your story, and especially how do you meet Jesus in Iran?
You know, here in America, people are wonderful and so gracious, but sometimes they say, where are you from? If they cannot guess I'm from Middle East. When I say Iran, their eyes get big. Oh, wonderful. I said, I'm from Iran, but I'm not dangerous anymore.
Right.
They just start laughing.
Yeah.
I was a very peaceful Muslim. Mm-hmm. I was always friend of poor, friend of needy. I tried to be kind. I tried to be a good Muslim and not an angry Muslim. I was that kind of a Muslim, you know, growing up in Iran. When I was about 12, 13 years old, revolution happened in Iran. I think it was yesterday. I think it's the 44th anniversary. 44 years
revolution.
Ago.
Wow.
It was yesterday.
Yeah.
People are so sad in Iran now. Mm. I would say 80% of the population, they are so sad. And I can say 80% of population, they love America in Iran.
Amazing.
They really do. When Khomeini came, I was about 12 years old. 12, 13. Now I'm 58. And those days we didn't have internet, we didn't have satellite. If you wanted to just learn about anything, you would just go to library. We didn't hear about Jesus. There wasn't any Farsi Bible in Iran. We didn't have any missionary in Iran.
even before Khomeini.
Before Khomeini, there was mission. There were some missionary, which my father said I didn't know when he came to U.S. He said he called them missionary.
Oh, really?
We had missionary, but he said nobody wanted to give their heart to Jesus. But then Khomeini came and brought Islamic regime. Mm-hmm. Because of that, the face of Islam, I'm not saying anything bad about, against Muslim, but Islam, was revealed. That's why after 40-something years old now, 44 years later on, people are so tired of religion, of Islam.
Because religion. Of the oppression of
because
it?
Of the, because the face of that Islam was revealed.
Yes.
When Shah was there, he was not enforcing true Islam.
Right.
When Khomeini came, he was enforcing true Islam.
Yes.
And you can't even dance. You cannot sing. Mm. You cannot play music. Mm. You know, you cannot wear short sleeve in our days.
Right.
That was the religion. And that's how I grew up under Islamic regime. Because I didn't know. I was always interested in getting to know God. Mm-hmm. And I was told Islam is the religion.
Yeah.
And Quran. I would read Quran as I grew up. I would read Quran, one book. It's in Arabic, you know, and then with some Farsi translation. But then I remember I purchased 40 books on Quran to understand Quran. That's how thirsty I was. But all my thirst and all my searching, it led me to nothing those days because nobody was there to tell me about Jesus.
Allah, right? You would talk to him and try and
But I
something.
Never heard anything back. But the only way I could talk, it was religious leaders that they would come to our father's supermarket. We had a supermarket during war. Mm-hmm. And everything was black market. And I would talk to them about God and friendship with God. And they would get frustrated. Also with me, because I was asking questions I was not supposed to ask.
Right.
They would go talk to my dad and say, he's saying things he's not supposed to talk about. Friendship with God?
Right.
Who do you think you are?
Yeah.
But it was always in my heart that one day I will become a friend of God. You talk about deep, going to deep. You could stay in religion level, or you could go deep to unknown. And mystery of walking with God and mystery of friendship with God, which is a mystery.
Yes.
Deep.
And that was in your heart.
It was always
in my heart.
But that
wasn't taught necessarily. It wasn't
not
like,
at all.
Have a relationship with Allah. That
no,
was not anything, no concept, but it was in your heart to have that.
Yeah.
And so you tried, but it wasn't.
I tried
no
for years. That's what I tried, you know, to do 5-time prayer of the day. Sometimes I would do 10 times. Sometimes I would do 15 times. I would triple.
What was the 5 times?
Yeah. What was asked me.
Yeah.
You know, and then I said, how about if I actually, that was really in my heart. I was always had heart for needy, for the poor, for the outcast. I could feel the pain of people, even when I was a Muslim. I could feel it. Mm. Still, even now, when I go to Walmart, when I pass anybody, I could feel there is this thing like, I don't know. It's like, I care about you. Even if the people I don't know, that doesn't mean I have a lot of flaws.
Sure.
But it's a gift inside.
Absolutely.
That is
compassion.
Like, that person's life is important.
Yeah.
They are important. Their past is important. Their future is important. This person is important. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That was always in me. That's what I was drawn to, the poor and needy, you know. But no matter what I did, I could never have that connection. I could never go to the deep.
Right. Yeah.
Nobody was there to take me to deep. And it was shallow.
Yeah. So how did you get out of Iran and a little bit about the story of your connection with Jesus?
Yeah. And when the war happened, Saddam Hussein, you know,
this
had
was the war between Iran and Iraq.
Yes,
yeah.
It was, I think 1984, 85.
Yeah.
And by that time, most of my friends, because to go to army is mandatory. When you turn 18, you will go.
Yeah.
And there was a war. And so many of my friends, they got hit right there and they died. Yeah, so many of my friends. And it was one of my biggest wish and dream to go to war and die. I always told myself, I said, I cannot ever kill anybody, but I would like to go and get killed. Because according to Islamic teaching, if the only way that you're guaranteed to go to heaven is through dying of as a martyr.
Yeah.
And that was our mentality. Nobody was there to tell us about Jesus. The whole country, you know how the COVID hit here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How you would escape COVID. Right. It hit everybody. Same thing, that religion, that cloud of religion really sat over the whole country. Mm. It hit almost every single person.
Mm.
They were all, it's like we couldn't see. Everything was Islam. Yeah. You know, and a lot of people, I think about 1 million in our side died. Oh, 1 million.
Man, horrible.
Most of them happily died. That cloud of religion.
Yeah, that's right.
Instead of true relationship.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like our God would say, you don't die, I die for you.
Right.
So but any other religion, you bow to me.
Yeah.
You die for me. You worship me. Our God is like, I wash your feet.
Mm.
Our God goes and, you know, spend time with the prostitute and the tax collector and the Pharisee. And he's like, I'm a father.
And then die for us.
Yeah, he died for us. It's like, what?
Yeah.
You know, and he found a way to die for us because you can't kill God. But he found a way. Okay, I will I will be born as one of them.
Right.
And go, which is a mystery. See, those days I didn't know. I didn't know any of these.
Sure.
I thought the truth is you go die for him.
Right. So, but you didn't make it into the military.
Thank
that wasn't
you,
your path.
God. Right? It was a miracle. First of all, my dad said, if you go, I will break. Because I wanted to go before the age of 18.
Mm.
Well, as a volunteer, if you were 13 years old, you could go.
13?
Yeah, 13.
Wow.
You could go as 13 and then as old as you are. Mm. Just go. So many 13-year-old. They would put dynamite or stuff around them, you know, and then go throw themselves under the tank.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. We had some even film of those things.
It's horrible.
And everybody, they're like, yes, that's our hero.
The martyrs,
we need to be like that. That's religion. Religion.
Mm.
You know?
Because it really is a religious backing of that war, right?
Yes, it was this side was religion, religious, and the other side would say, if you die for Allah, you would become a martyr. This side would, both Muslim, yes.
It just,
And my dad said, I would break your leg, and I knew he would do it. He said, if you want to go, I would break your leg. Thank you, Jesus, for my dad. I got so angry at him. But my grandfather, he knew someone in the army. That's really a miracle. Mm. And he got permission for me not to go.
Okay.
Otherwise, I wouldn't be sitting here today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And that's how I didn't go. And then I started pursuing Allah through books, you know, 40 books, to try to get to know him. Every moment I remember, looking back, every second of my life as a Muslim, I was waiting for God. Mm. Not even a second went by that I did not think about God. Mm. Again, it was a gift. It was, but it became agony for me because I was waiting for him. I was waiting. Something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. And you just imagine with that mentality for years you wait for him.
Mm.
And again, he was making me thirsty for the deep.
Yes.
He was making me ready.
Mm.
You know, most of our transformation happens in the waiting.
That's really
which
good.
Which is not fair.
That's right.
To our human nature.
That's not what we want. That's for sure.
Yeah, David had to wait after he got anointed, I think 20 years. It wasn't just waiting, it was being persecuted.
Right.
Then you have Joseph. You know, you get have this amazing dream and then persecuted and waiting.
That's right.
Then you have Abraham.
Mm.
God, he didn't send people to prophesy to Abraham. God himself came.
Mm-hmm.
And then in waiting, he was being ready for it. Mm-hmm. And for me now, I so appreciate of those days that I waited. But when I was in it, it was.
You don't appreciate it then.
Oh, it was hard. It was agony, this deep agony of waiting.
Mm-hmm.
When I was about 27, 28 years old, I remember one day I had a conversation with Allah. I mean, I didn't hear anything, but I looked up the sky. I still remember where I was standing. This is a long time ago. I looked up, I said, I'm going to turn my back on you. I'm not going to talk to you anymore. I'm going to stop all my five-time prayer of the day. Yeah. And I know when I come to judgment day, you will kick me to hell. But before you kick me to hell, I'm going to look you in the eye and say, you owe me. because for years I pursued you and you didn't pursue me. And I waited for you and I wasted all my life.
Yeah.
And then after that, I said, let's just go to America, start your life new, because my mom's sister came here way before. And then that's how my journey started, when I broke up with my love.
Yeah. And then you found yourself, I think, in Cyprus.
When I was 30 years old.
Yeah.
Again, those days we didn't have internet or anything. Right. I just talked to people. They said, go to a travel agent in Tehran, in capital.
Yeah.
You know, I used to live in the north of the country. It was hard to get there. I went there and they made an appointment for me to the American embassy in Cyprus, because we don't have
embassy in Iran, Tehran, right? Yeah.
Which we don't blame America for not having it. And I went to Cyprus when I was 30 years old. It was a 3 days trip, three or 4 days, and without knowing how to speak even one sentence of English.
Oh, wow.
1996. But again, I felt it in my heart. I need to do this. And when I was in Cyprus waiting to have my appointment the next day, I was staying at this hotel and I found a Farsi Iranian Bible.
Before we continue with the conversation, I wanted to take a minute to share about Hydrating Humanity. For the past 19 years, Hydrating Humanity has provided clean drinking water sources, hygiene education, and the news of Jesus' love to over 500,000 people in Eastern Africa, saving lives and transforming villages. You can make a huge difference in the lives of many by being a part of One Tribe, where $25 per month gives one new person clean water for life and reaches them with God's love. 100% of your monthly gift goes directly to fund projects. Please go to joinonetribe.com and join the tribe that is changing the world. Amazing. Farsi Iranian Bible in Cyprus.
In the hotel room.
Had you ever seen a Bible before?
No.
Yeah.
No, not even my language. But we heard Bible was corrupted by Christians.
Right. So it was like a stay away from this thing.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. But when I saw that book, I felt it. I was, even from a young age, I would always go with my heart told me.
Yes.
I felt I need to pick up that book and I need to read that book.
So you picked it up.
And I asked the guy. He could speak a little bit of Farsi. It looked like he was a believer. Signed the book. He was so excited, gave it to me. And I took the book. It was New Testament.
Yeah.
I took it to my room. Injil Sharif. Farsi, it's Injil is Bible. Sharif means holy. Injil Sharif, holy Bible. Mm-hmm. I went to my room. It was a very small room in Cyprus. This is 1996. With my broken heart, all those years of waiting for God. And now I want to go to America, start my life new. There is no way I would get my visa, because they don't give visa to Iranian. High school diploma I had, no money, nothing. Iranian, sure, come to America. Absolutely not. And I opened the Bible, I started to read the Bible for the first time in my life. I think it was the beginning, New Testament, Book of Matthew. I don't know how long I read the Bible, but I remember saying to myself, this is so sweet. I could almost taste the sweetness of what I was reading. I said, this is sweet. This is so sweet. The story of this prophet Jesus. You know, you read Quran. I don't like to say anything bad against any other book, but it's different.
You read because Jesus is in the Quran.
It is in the Quran. But Quran says, you know, he was a prophet.
Right.
He even raised the dead. But he's not the Son of God.
Right.
And he never was crucified.
That's right. He wasn't crucified.
Know?
Yeah.
It's that you have some truth in it, but then you take the main truth out.
Right.
But you read this story of this Jesus as a Muslim that who is not used to this beautiful story. He walked around and he healed people. And he's not even judging the prostitute. He's like, who are you? And he's angry of religious people. You're not supposed to be angry at them. They are godly people. But he could see through. And it's opposite. He's friend of the sinners. What kind of a book
religious.
Is this?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It surprises, but it's a beautiful surprise. You're like, again, because it's against religion.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there is so much love in it. It's like, who are you? And after a while, I don't know how long I was reading the book, but after a while, when my eyes looked at the word Jesus Christ. In Farsi, it's Isa Masih. The ink and the name would literally, I would see it with my eyes open, would come out of the book, would be lifted up like this, so gentle, and goes to the ceiling, and then would go back and land into the book, and I could hear like, so beautiful, so gentle. That happened 3 or 4 times. The last time I was following the name, the word became flesh. I saw him, the ceiling expanded, and I saw him hovering. And I knew, my heart knew, this is Jesus right here. He didn't say I'm Jesus.
But you knew.
I knew, my whole body knew. And I heard him speaking in my own language without his lip moving. He said, I will help you to go to America. I looked back and I asked my heart, I said, can I pray to him? He's a prophet to Christians. That's how religious.
Yes.
Then I looked up, I said, Jesus, all other prophets, they never helped me. If you can, please do. And I kept reading the Bible like nothing happened. It was a miracle, but I didn't say, oh my God, it's a miracle. And the interesting thing is he didn't say, I'm Jesus, I'm the Son of God, follow me, give me
a... No, that wasn't it.
He looked at what I needed, and he gave it to me. And I was 30 years old, and when it was the first encounter after many years of waiting for him. I'll go to embassy. I still have my passport. They stamped my passport the same day without checking my background.
Amazing.
Yeah. And then I came to U.S. I didn't even thank Jesus. I thanked Allah.
Yeah, right.
I said, oh, he's a prophet. Yeah, you weren't Maybe this is a Western countries. And he was here. You know, all other prophets, they're in the East. This is really, I really thought he was in charge of Western nation.
Yeah.
It's a prophet. It happened to be there. Really?
He's in charge of the Western nation.
Really? You know, Jesus is for the West, for us.
Right, yeah.
Used to be.
Sure.
Didn't realize he was born in the East.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and, oh, this is another country. And I thank Allah. I said, after many years, you answered my prayer. Wow.
Finally. Right.
Finally.
Yeah.
Then I came to America in 1996. It was October or November 1996. Wow, I can feel the Lord now. And... yeah. Sometime when I talk about him, I said, I'm very honest with him. I said, you're interrupting me again. I'm talking. I love it. Yeah. Oh, Jesus. I could feel him very strong. Now, isn't that amazing? We read about him and we think Bible, New Testament, I don't know, it's about 2,000 years old or whatever. And he's in heaven, seated in the right side of a throne. Him and his father, they love their throne. They always hang around the throne. And it's wonderful. And we're here to work. But isn't that amazing? He appears to people now?
Yes. Yeah.
It's just, it's amazing. He appears to people. And even when we were talking, I could feel it with my whole body. He just walked in. He's like,
yes.
Thank you.
Yes, that's
Thank
right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You're God. You're the Father. You're the creator of the world. Thank you. But maybe other people are there. You know, you could go and hang around needy and other people. You're okay. But he's like, I can be anywhere I want to. And I like to be here now.
Yes.
You're talking about me.
That's right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Isn't that amazing when he says, when two or three are gathered in my name.
Yeah.
I'm there too.
I'm there.
I joined that party. You know, it's amazing. I think of the years you were praying to Allah.
Yeah.
For an answer, for a presence, for something.
Yeah.
And
for years.
And then Jesus
appears. He looks at what I needed.
Yes.
And he gave it to me.
Yeah.
And he was not in a hurry to really say, hey, by the way, I'm the creator.
Yeah. It's time for you to
convert.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Your book is bad, the other book.
Right.
By the way, throw it out.
It's right. Like, that's not what he did.
He you know, Matt, it's like when you go date someone, you're gonna go and say, hey, I like you, you're pretty, I want you to marry me now.
Right. Yeah. You don't wanna do that. That's not very romantic,
Jesus.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah. That's religion. That's
right.
Almost like call it another thing, but he takes his time. He introduces himself, slowly. Yeah. And that's, we call it divine romance.
Yeah, that's right.
Versus religion. You know, religion, that's it right. doesn't have time.
Yeah, and it's you not do relational. It it's not yes. loving. Right.
Yeah, and just... And also, it's like, I know we have hour or maybe a little bit more, but it's like, how can you capture? But he's gracious. Anyway.
So you got to the States.
I get to the state. I get to the United States with all my dream that now finally I'm in America. I don't want to be religious anymore. I don't want to pursue religion.
Right.
I'm here. I want to be an actor, really. I want to be a model. Yeah. I want to just do something with my life. This is America that we saw on TV. Arnold,
right.
Michael Jackson.
Arnold.
And when I came here, really, when I came here, it was during the time that, what was it? Basketball game 1996.
Sure,
you know?
The Olympics. Was Olympic
the Olympic was
also.
There. Yeah. I'm in America. I don't want to be religious.
Dream
Thank
team
you, Jesus.
Sure.
You helped me. But I'm going to have my life now.
Mm-hmm.
I gave my life for religion. Now I'm going to live my life. That was my mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had the same Bible with me because that guy gave it to me.
Oh,
yes.
Wow. Yeah.
I started reading it. I remember I was, upstairs in my auntie's house in Atlanta. My aunt, my mom's sister, which she's a follower of Jesus now. I was the first one. And I would read the Bible, and the Bible slowly started to make me angry because it said, he's the Son of God. He's the creator. He's everything.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, no wonder they told us that the book was corrupted.
Right.
I remember I got angry. I threw the Bible to the corner of the wall. I said, Jesus, thank you for helping me. But this Christian, they corrupted your Bible. I can't touch this.
We're done.
I'm done. Thank you. I'm here in America.
Yeah.
I want to have my life. For 3 years, I was 30 years old when I met Jesus. He waited another 3 years and for me perhaps to get ready. You know, another waiting, you know. And I would do odd jobs. I would do carpentry. My heart was broken. I thought America could save my life. And America was waiting for me. And I realized America was not waiting for me.
Right.
Yeah, and my English wasn't that good, doing odd jobs. And then I met some Christians.
Mm.
And they were bold enough to approach me and to love me and to be kind to me. Surprisingly, it was in acting school. Just not something serious. It was just once a week, something normal. But my acting teacher was a spiritual Christian.
Mm.
She saw through me. She had so much love. Miss Dorsey, she just passed away. And she was in Three Stooges movie also.
Oh,
she
really?
Was famous, yeah. Miss Dorsey was older, and she had these fake eyelashes, you know.
Yeah.
And after our class, we would go sit, and she would smoke her cigarette with her fake eyelashes. And then have a beer and talk about Jesus, you know. And then sometimes she would say, Cameron, my love, tell me about your God. And I'm like, you want to know about my God? Yes.
Wow.
And I would talk about Allah. And she said, it looked like you're angry at your God. I said, I am. She said, why? She said, because I wanted to be his friend and he didn't want friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And she would tell me about Jesus and the love of God first. And I would say, what do you guys know as an American? Your eyelash is almost touching me. You're 70-something years old.
Right.
I was judging religion.
Yeah.
You're drinking your beer.
And you're smoking.
Yes. And you're smoking.
Yes.
And you're talking about the love of God. Sure, you corrupted the Bible, you guys.
Right.
But she had so much love for me.
Mm.
And when she would look me in the eye, she would go through me. I said, this person sees me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was attractive to me. It's like, you know, and then she invited me to her birthday party, you know, and it was the first time I met a lot of Christian with a smile, which really was intimidating because I said, why are they all smiling? Why are they all happy? I was never happy. I said, oh, they're American. Look at their cars.
That's why they're happy.
They have money. That's why they're happy. But they were all happy.
Mm-hmm.
And they all love me. I'm like, don't you know I'm from Iran? You're supposed to hate me. Why are you so nice?
Yeah.
That really got my attention.
Mm-hmm.
Make a long story short, I was talking to one of them one day. You know, we got to know each other. After 3 years of being in America, nobody approached me. But these people, they want to get to know me.
Yeah.
And they know me. I'm a construction worker. I'm nobody. But why are you interested in me? I was talking to one of them about God, and I wept. I was 33 years old. I said, please stop talking about love of God. He's not love.
Mm-hmm.
I was 12 years old when I pursued him. Look at me. I'm 33 years old. But that day when I was weeping, I asked, I said, tell me how to pray to Jesus. She told me about salvation prayer. I didn't want to pray that prayer. I said, can I pray with my own language? She said, yes. I remember this is 20-something years ago. I remember exactly how I prayed. I said, Jesus, I knew he's listening. I don't believe you are the Son of God, mm-hmm. but if you are, I give you my heart. Mm. Because I heard she said, give him your heart. Mm. I didn't know you give your heart. I thought you pursue God.
Right.
I didn't know you that give you him your
yes,
heart.
Right.
You know, I really, no, somebody had to tell me, but I made it my version. I said, I don't believe you're the Son of God, mm-hmm. but if you are, I
here you go.
Give you my heart right there. Mm. It's like a binding contract.
You didn't know what you were getting into, did you?
I didn't know.
Yeah.
I really didn't know. Yeah. That's so important. Mm. And then I said, Jesus, I don't believe your blood has any power to forgive my sin, but if there is any forgiveness through your blood, I beg you to wash all my sins away. Mm. That's another binding contract right there.
Yeah.
Had to say it. Then I said, Jesus, it was three-part prayer. If you can build a relationship between, this was important for me. The other two, she told me you have to do it. Blood of Jesus, I didn't know.
Right.
Give your heart, I didn't know. But the third part is, it was my heart. I said, if you can build a relationship between my heart and the heart of the Creator, mm-hmm. which you claim he's your Father, mm-hmm. I give you full permission to do anything you want to do with my life, with my existence, with my being. Mm-hmm. You have all the permission.
Yes.
That was my heart, mm-hmm. you know. And then when I prayed that prayer, it's like someone touched me in my shoulder. And I wept and I wept. It was the first time that I wept that felt so good. Mm. You know, you guys go drill well.
Yes.
It's like finally I had water.
Yeah.
You and it water. Felt yes. so good.
Yes.
I'm like, ah, this feels so good. I'm crying. It's not the misery. It's not sadness. Mm. It's there is something is happening. It's like the water. Yeah. Boom, it hit the water.
And you still didn't really understand what's going on
not
here, but you can feel in your spirit
Absolutely.
There's something real. This is there's an
goodness.
Exchange going
how,
on.
How can you how can you explain it and how can you ignore it?
Yes.
Living water. I didn't know the word living water.
Right.
But someone had to be there. Like you guys go there, you don't create water.
Right.
You help them to
find
dig.
It. It's there. Yeah.
You know, that's what you do.
That's right.
Which is it's really symbolic to bring the water of
that's
life
right.
to them.
Yes.
But someone had to go so deep in me and hit that water. Mm-hmm. Still, when the water was hit, I had to go deeper. I mean,
sure.
We all have our story of going deep. Mm-hmm. But that was right there. Mm-hmm. And then it was about the year 2000 and I got invited to a church by my friend and my teacher. Mm-hmm. It was my first time as a former Muslim walking into this big, huge 4,000 or 5,000 people church.
Yeah.
Mount Perrin Church of God, Dr. Cooper, I still remember, in Marietta, Georgia.
Okay.
I used to live there.
Yeah.
What an amazing man. And when I was sitting there, to make a longer story short, I just saw Jesus standing.
So this is kind of the second time you've
this
had
this is the second time
an I had experience with Jesus personally. Yeah,
he was standing behind the pastor. He was like a Middle Eastern shepherd with the rod in his hand. I still remember where he was standing, but behind the pastor. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah,
not in front of him.
I like hearing that.
Really, he was standing behind the pastor.
Yeah, amazing.
It's amazing the humility of God. And then he walked. He walked on the stage and he walked on air and he. I saw him. He walked inside my body.
Wow.
Yeah. And when he walked, I closed my eyes and I saw a hand from here and he touched my heart like lighting a candle like this. Just imagine the Creator lights your heart. Fire. I didn't know. I wasn't around Christian. I didn't know you feel Holy Spirit. I didn't even know Holy Spirit, the word Holy Spirit.
Right.
Fire. Right. What is fire? Because before fire was hell to burn you.
Right.
Fire.
A bad thing of fire,
all of
right.
it. This fire of divine love. It just took me. Again, I started weeping. Mm. And it was like literally getting hugged and kissed by God. I knew this is happening. It took me. And I'm sitting in the first row of the church, not by my free will, because when I walked in, the usher took me to the very first row. And I was late that day too. And that experience was amazing. Even I could, with my eyes closed, I could see the fire around me, this white fire. And but I got so embarrassed because my nose was running and I'm crying so hard in the first row of the church. Because in mosque, you don't cry like this. Mm. I didn't know it's okay to cry
right.
when the Holy Spirit comes, right. you know.
Yeah.
And I said, please don't do this to me after a while. I said, not now, meaning come back later. And all the fire and all the feeling, it stopped. Like going 150 miles per hour in the highway, then you stop. Mm. And that surprised me, like, how this is possible? Where is the feeling? And it all left. It all stopped. And I asked my friend after the service, I said, tell me this fire, this. Mm. They told me about Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And they told me, now do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? I said, no. They said, why not? I said, now I believe he has the power. He's alive.
Yeah.
He has the power to forgive my sin. That's why they explained the Holy Spirit. That's why he gave me the Spirit of God. Because as a Muslim, you never think the Spirit of God would ever get close to you, let alone to come inside your body.
Right.
Even as a martyr, you make it to heaven. He is there somewhere. You're just somewhere here for him to touch you.
Right, that wouldn't happen.
Or go inside your body. Yeah. I said, now I believe that happened. But if he's the Son of God, he has to show me himself. But I believe he's alive. I believe he forgave my sin. And then January 21st, 2000, we went to another church. And that night, the Lord touched me again. Mm. But this time, I was on the floor. I didn't know people fall on the floor. I didn't know any of those things. And that night, January 21st, 2000, which this January 21st was the 25th year.
Wow.
My eyes were closed, and he revealed himself to me. I saw very far into heaven. I saw him standing in the right side of a wooden chair. Later on, I read in the Bible, it's a throne. It was a small wooden chair that you find in antique church, an antique place. Yeah. Maybe you pay $5 for it. Really? That's what I'm like. Chair, wooden chair, and he's standing in the right side. I didn't see anybody on the chair.
Yeah.
And he poured his spirit. It came from heaven. When he touched me, I knew who he was. And I remember when I got up, I looked at my fingernail. They had the same knowing as this and this.
Your whole body.
My eyebrows and eyelashes, I could feel it. They all know him. And they knew he's the Son of God, he's the Creator. I kept saying, it was you, it was you, it was you. Mm. I realized I was pursuing him.
Yes.
It wasn't any
That's
other.
That's when it all started to make sense.
But the thing was like, you know, like almost like this atomic bomb of divine romance went off inside me. It took over. It just took over. And that was 25 years ago.
It's amazing how the journey that Jesus will take us on, as you said, may not be 6 months or a year or 2 years. It's 25 years of, or more than that.
Yeah.
30 plus years, yes. 33 years.
I'm 58. I started when I was 12.
Right. This long journey of Jesus wooing you and revealing himself little by little.
Taking
and,
his time. You're like, why do you take your time?
Right. Amazing, isn't it?
Because we look at our earthly watch, we say, okay, how long do I have? 80, 90, maybe 95?
Yeah.
What are you doing? But he doesn't look at this. He's like, eternity.
That's right.
I am doing something with you. It's your eternal relationship with me, but you always bring it to 80 or 90.
Yeah.
And what I have realized, what we have realized, he doesn't change for us. Somehow we have to adjust our mentality. Mm-hmm. And everything, the way we look at life. Mm-hmm. When I say life, I go to 95 perhaps. Mm-hmm. But when he said, I'm the life.
Yes.
Is he 95 years old?
Forever. Yes, always. Beginning and end. Yes.
He said, I will work in your life.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, 95 years old.
Right.
I have plans for you, declares the Lord, up to 95 or 100. but he's like, I have planned for you.
Forever.
All of your ages
and lives, yes.
But my human flesh, we said, that's not fair.
Yeah.
But it's him.
It's a beautiful thing. It really is a beautiful thing. Hey, if you are just getting to know Awake Church or found us through this podcast, I just want to share a little bit here. Our mission is to know Jesus personally, to become progressively more like him, and make his name known everywhere. We like to say, know God, take action. We are a community of awakened sons and daughters of the King, growing together, loving and worshiping God together, and releasing His love into this world. You can learn more about our leadership team, our values and beliefs, and check out upcoming events at awakechurch.com. So as Jesus won you over through this lengthy journey, and then you came to North Carolina, you got married, and, you know, I watched the Lord. I'm sure you still were looking, where's my purpose? What am I supposed to do? You came to be an actor or a model. Those things didn't happen. And then, you know, I know some of what you and Susie do together. You have a ministry. What's the ministry name that you have? And what, tell us a little bit about what you do.
Yeah. Even the ministry, it was a walk with God.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes.
But in the beginning, when Susie and I, we got married, she was a worship leader.
Right.
Passionate worship leader.
Yes.
Freedom Still fighter, is. Worship yes. leader. Yes, she is. And I was a former Muslim who, you know, in January 21st, I gave my heart to the Lord. And later on, the September 11th happened.
Yes.
The eyes of the world yes. was on Islam.
That's and right.
A lot of churches wanted me to go and share my testimony of encounter.
Yeah.
You know, with this
Especially
Jesus.
Especially with a Muslim background.
Yeah, right? Muslim yeah. background. And we started our ministry in 2006 together. Mm-hmm. And we would go to places and she would lead worship and teach worship, you know, teams. And I would not only share my testimony, I would share my heart for the divine connection. Mm-hmm. For me, it was years of waiting to be a friend of God. Mm-hmm. For me, it was like I would talk about friendship with God and going to the deep. For me, yes. it was always, let's go deeper because Jesus happened to save us. It's like you go to ocean and you're drowning and someone comes and saves you.
Yeah.
And for the rest of your life, you call that person a savior. You say, wait a minute. Yes, I saved you, but do you want to get to know me? You say, no, no, you're my savior. It's like, yes, I saved you.
Yes, right.
But as a matter of fact, I'm the creator of the whole world.
Yes.
There is so much more to me That's than right. saving someone.
That's right. Yeah.
Would you like to get to know me? Some may say, I'm good.
Right.
You saved me. I'm good. Yeah. Some may say, I really want to get to know you. Mm-hmm. That's where it was my pain and agony that I wanted, just being honest with you, I wanted the church or the body of Christ to be thirsty for that part.
Yes.
Which in the beginning, I kind of judged that, why can't you guys be more thirsty?
Yes.
Why don't you know what you have? I've been waiting for this for a long time.
Because that was your journey. Yes, right.
For a long time. And the divine connection, friendship with God. Some people would say, what do you mean, friend of God? I'm like, oh my God, don't you want to be a friend of God? Mm-hmm. But then I realized that we like to work for God, which is good. It's okay. But that was my thing. It still is my angst.
Yes.
It still is my... And the Lord had to... Still, He's doing. He's pruning me because it became pride that why can't you love Jesus as much as I do?
Yeah.
Why don't you want to be His friend? But then the Lord had to show me that, hey, take it easy. And that is our ministry.
Yeah.
But then the name of our ministry is KS Movement. Cameron is with K, Susie is S. But then I was talking to the Lord and I heard this, knowing, K for knowing, S for showing, knowing and showing God's heart. That's K's movement.
Yeah.
That how can you show God's heart if you do not know His heart? It's knowing His heart like you guys, knowing the heart of the Father and going to Africa and showing the heart of the Father. You're not just drilling well, showing the heart of God. And then I realized that you can get to know the Word of God, but not the heart of God. The Word of God is the Bible. For me, last 25 years was as much as I could handle from my corner to understand the heart of God. You know, the Word of God, we could go to Bible college or study it, but the heart of God, it only comes through friendship. If you could call it friendship college.
Yes, yeah.
That's where I like to, as much as I can help. And now, you know, the Lord gave us ministry to Iranian too, because I know the cry of their heart.
Yeah.
We have satellite program, television, which goes to the homes of millions of people, their TV, not the internet, TV.
Right. That's right.
And now the Lord opened the door through social media going to homes of a lot of people. But if I did not have my agony since I was 12, if I did not walk that journey, if I didn't walk the way I walk, if I didn't look at his heart all these years, even with pain and agony, sometimes confusion, a lot of time doubts.
Yeah.
What am I doing?
Sure.
All of it became this smoothie. You know,
right. Yeah. It's all blended together. Right.
Blended together.
Yeah. You know? And it's so perfect because I think of the Lord's wisdom in using you to now broadcast, you and Susie, both back into your home nation, as well as all of the Farsi speakers, really throughout the world and in Europe, Afghanistan, other places.
North Africa, yes.
And sharing the story that you just shared with us, because you have millions and millions of people stuck in the same thing, probably many with that same hunger, the same questions, the same prayers to Allah, you know, and here you get to give these answers and share your journey, and not more than answers, just to share this relationship with God in the person of Jesus is pretty amazing. And you know, one of the things that with what you do, and many watching may not realize this, but you know, it's illegal to share about Jesus in Iran. It's illegal to have a Bible. It's illegal to preach.
Yes.
To go to a church, anything like that. So
punishable is not just illegal. That's illegal. It's punish you.
You're in trouble. That's right. You might be thrown in prison, beaten, whatever. And so what happens is through the black market satellite dishes, right?
People, which you're on too.
That's right. Yes. We do it here at Awake Church as well. We broadcast over there. You helped us do that. And so people are watching this and they're seeing you and hearing this and you don't get to hear all those testimonies, maybe a small fraction.
Because it's their TV.
It's their TV, and they can't tell anybody.
No.
Yet you're impacting their lives. I mean, the stories you're going to hear in heaven are going to be amazing. You're going to hear millions of stories, Cameron. Yes. That's just incredible to think about.
It is.
Of people's lives as the experience that you had of Jesus becoming real and making sense of who he is happening for hundreds of thousands or millions of people because of the difficulty that you had in your journey.
Same, yes.
And then that coming, becoming real and now impacting so many people. It's remarkable.
It is. You know, when we talk about kind of evangelism, sometimes I don't even like the word evangelism because we brought it so low.
Right.
Know? It's like...
like a formula type of thing.
Yes, you know, just a formula or just get someone saved that they don't go to hell. But when you open it up, when you were talking, I was just seeing like... when that happened to me or when your salvation, they happened to you, finally you're like, God is alive, God exists, God loves me, and you got connected to God.
Right.
From outside, look at you or look at me, we are like, oh, I'm so happy for Matt Peterson. I'm so happy for Cameron. Mm-hmm. But normally what we don't see is the joy of Father that he got finally connected.
Yeah, that's good. Right.
I think that's why in heaven he said there is a party going on. I always thought it's for me. Oh, finally I got saved. But for them to see the father got to the son or to the daughter. Mm-hmm. When you hear the story of prodigal son, we always focus on the son that's finally.
Right.
But we don't realize that how much joy the father had to get connected. It's not just someone doesn't go to hell, but the father found the lost person that was wandering.
That he loves
wandering.
So much.
And the father wanted, he craved. Yeah. We know the story of God is he craves. You're like, God craves? Yes. He craves that. Like you crave for your children to visit you.
Yes.
Or they look at you in their busy life and just really see you. Mm. Like you, I'm sure, with no pressure for your kids, you crave to have a grandchild.
Yes.
Right? Even that grandchild is not born yet, but in your heart, it is.
Right.
I don't know how many you have in your heart, but without pressure for your kids.
Hopefully many.
I'm just saying.
Yes, that's
that
true.
Means they already live in your heart.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
See, that's right there.
That's how God is with all of those he doesn't know yet. Yeah.
One time the Lord told me, he said, when you didn't have me in your heart, he said, I had you in mind.
Mm.
And I'm like, wow, he's talking about the Muslim boy.
Yeah.
He didn't have God in his heart, but as a Muslim boy, I was living in his heart.
Boy, yes. It's beautiful. It's,
you know.
Yeah, I was thinking too when you said that, you know, when Jesus, his last prayer that we have recorded in John 17, and he says, this is eternal life. Here's what eternal life is. That they might know you and the Son, me, basically. It's that fellowship. It's that relationship. It's not checking off, saying a prayer.
Yeah.
It's not the formula. It's the relationship of knowing, having this deep relationship.
And we say to know him, right?
Yes.
Then there is a scripture that says to some people, I say, apart from me, I never knew you.
Right.
Didn't say you never knew me.
Mm.
Meaning you never gave me the chance to really go deep in you.
Mm, yeah.
You know, because we have, you know, it's like we give permission to people how deep they can go to our heart.
That's right.
Right?
Yes.
It's you that you say, okay, right. You can go deeper now.
Yeah.
I allow you. Same thing with God. Mm-hmm. We get to know him, but how much did I give him permission to go deeper into my heart? It's both ways. It never one way.
That's good.
Like, I never knew you. I'm like, I knew you, but you never knew me. I'm like, Lord, you know me.
Yeah.
How much? Yeah. One time the Lord told me, put in my heart, he said, there is a room you have in your heart you never visited.
Mm.
And you don't let me go there. Would you let me go there?
Yeah.
I said, yes. And that was the week that I cursed him. And I said, get out of my heart. I don't want you anymore. And I realized I had so much anger in that room in my heart.
Yeah.
And when I expressed
you didn't want him
it,
in there.
No, yeah. I didn't even go there. I didn't know how angry I was. This is after I met Jesus.
Yeah.
Four years after I met Jesus.
Mm.
And after that process, I truly became friend of God. I realized, like, I said everything. And there is not even a room in my heart he cannot go.
Yeah.
We became friend after that.
Mm.
Of course, I apologize. I cried. I'm so sorry. I asked you to get out of my heart. I'm glad you didn't leave.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's like your children would, God forbid, say, you're not my father anymore. You're like, sure. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Because you said so.
Yeah. And have you found with the ministry that the Lord has given you to share and to share your heart and to speak in this going all throughout the Farsi-speaking world, that what is resonating the most with people? You've been talking about father some and your own journey. Is that really some
father?
The father. That,
they
is that
want
the message?
Father.
That's it. And why is that, do you think?
I really don't know, but isn't that what we all want?
Yes.
In America, because we have more, we are more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps we cannot see the depth of our need.
Mm-hmm.
Over there, because they are in so much oppression, I don't know the answer, but I do know we did this. We've been working in our social media since December, and I did some short video, and I talked about the father, and it got millions of views, and we get thousands of messages that nobody said father the way you're saying. There is a word in Farsi is Baba. Baba means father.
Okay, yes.
Baba June means my life.
Yeah.
You tell your children Baba June.
Yeah.
They tell you Baba June.
Okay.
You can even tell your, if you had a daughter, Baba June. You can tell your niece Baba June. Your niece can even call you. It's that this Baba June goes everywhere, right?
And it's father life. Father
life.
But what is intended when, like, if a see, you say it, that to your daughter?
Yeah,
what
I even tell that? Susie. For years, I called her Baba June or Baba John. People say Baba.
Right.
What is Baba? Father. What is John? Life. Why do you call your wife father life? That's the way it's in Iran for years.
Part of the culture.
Part of the culture. If you truly love someone, you call them Baba John. Come
here,
Baba John.
Gotcha.
To be honest with you, for years I called my dog Baba John, Jacques and Chloe. I said, Jacques,
whoever
come on.
Whoever you love.
Yeah.
Is Baba.
I said, Jacques, his name is Jacques. I call him Jacques Kababa. Come here, Jacques Kababa. That was in me, right?
Yeah.
It's a deep love
it's
toward
an expression
someone.
Expression of love for someone.
But if you translate it word by word, if Baba June is father life.
Yeah.
I did my first social media post. It was a test of microphone. Mm-hmm. I went in front of the mic, and my iPhone was there, and this is test. I said, why as an Iranian we love the word Baba June? I said it in Farsi, mm-hmm. right? But I didn't know what else to say. I'm testing the mic. I said, because we all have Baba June in heaven, and my prayer for you is, my heart for you is that you may hear the word of Baba June. That's all I said. And that went viral. And the people, they're helping me. They said, stay around Baba June. People are responding. They're going crazy. So many people are saying, we cannot stop weeping when you say Baba June. And to me, it's not just me saying Baba June. Finally, all these years of agony and walking and waiting without me saying Jesus, when I say Baba June, I say Baba June. Mm-hmm. When I say Baba June, all mm-hmm. that walk, all that agony, all that life, all everything, even mm-hmm. me being angry at God, everything came mm-hmm. in one word, Baba June.
Yeah.
It's amazing. See, God himself, the vastness of who he is, it's amazing, right?
Yes.
He brought himself, concentrated himself in a baby that was so needy toward mother's breastfeeding.
Right.
And so God being, just imagine, I always say you can have a relationship with God as a baby. Mm. That's Jesus. Sometimes we have to go throw the word Jesus or just hit people, but it's like who you are, your smile or your kindness, it's all, God is concentrated. Mm. And that word Baba June, since December of last year, December 7, we had about 4 million views in like 20-something videos.
It's amazing.
Of 15 seconds long.
Yeah.
Because they can feel something. And a lot of testimony is we cannot stop crying.
Yeah.
And that happened to me. I wept and wept.
Every step we take, every hand we extend, every act of kindness creates a ripple effect that transforms lives. In the past month, we have reached nearly 3 million hearts in Iran through social media. These are souls searching for truth, longing for connection, desperate for a glimpse of God's love. With your help, we can continue this work. We can keep these platforms active, keep the voices of hope alive, and keep the movement growing. And it doesn't stop there. Beyond digital outreach, we are building bridges in tangible ways, supporting underground churches, empowering worship leaders, and standing beside persecuted believers. We are embracing the most vulnerable children, providing them with love, education, and future filled with possibilities. Every dollar given, every prayer lifted, every action taken, it all matters. It all makes a difference. This is more than a mission, it's a movement. A divine calling to be the hands and feet of Christ in the land yearning for his presence. And today, you have the opportunity to be a part of it. Look into their eyes once more. Imagine if this was your reality. Now, open your heart and be their hope. Your support can change lives. Your love can rewrite destinies. Join us in this divine movement. Stand with us. Give with us, pray with us. Together, we are not just making a difference, we are making history.
You know, it's so interesting, isn't it? I was in my journey with God, I feel like I've had three conversions. A conversion to Jesus when I was 7, Yours was longer. And then I feel like I had a conversion to the Father in my 30s and a conversion to the Holy Spirit in my teens. So I feel like because it's when they become real as God in your life and you are awakened. And for me, the Father was so dramatic for me as I started getting a revelation of who the Father is. And how, you know, Jesus, when he was here, here he comes, as you just said, compressed God from heaven in the form of a baby, becomes a man, and he's living life. And then when he, coming from heaven, from his Father, having relationship with his Father, as he goes on mission to not only save the world and to, you know, give us eternal life and all the things that he did, a big part of his mission that's not talked about much is that is the mission to reveal Baba Jun,
yeah,
to reveal God. And so, as we know, of course, God has all these names, El Shaddai, Elohim, Adonai, Tzidkenu. We have all of these names of God, Captain of the Hosts. Yes. But Jesus uses one word his whole time he's here, and it's Father. He reveals God as Father. Father is the thing that had been misconstrued for, so, you know, thousands of years. And here Jesus as the Son, no one better to explain the Father than the Son. He says, here's who God is. He's Papa. He's Baba. Yeah. He's Baba Jun. He is a loving Father. And I think there is a hunger inside of every person. Regardless of how old you are, you know, you can meet someone who's 90 and they still wish that they had a father figure to approve of them and to love them. And I think it's built into every single person, whether you're Iranian or you're American or you're Swedish or wherever, to know this Father, this God as Father. It's a powerful thing. And I can see why it's resonating with the whole nation for you to reframe Allah from being distant, right? Not interested or
demanding,
all of that, not really a father.
No.
And then introducing God, who he really is, he's a father.
And in Iran, if I say father, which is the word is pedar,
okay,
it wouldn't fly.
It would.
Baba Jun. Baba, normally you say someone to your grandfather also, Baba Jun, like Papa, kind of like. Even I couldn't say the word father because the word father was so damaged in Iran.
That's a good way to say it, yes.
So damaged. And yes. I had to, the Lord gave me the other word, like when you say, like here I had an interview with Elijah Stream, Steve Schultz.
Yes.
This is just a week, I think, before the word Baba Jun took off in Iran.
Yes.
We were talking, and I always talk to the Lord, and I call him Father Love. He said, what did you call him? I said, Father Love.
Yeah.
He said, Father Love. He said, I've been always waiting and looking for a word. He said, I heard Papa. I said, Father.
Yeah.
But you call him Father Love? I said, yes. He said, that's awesome. I'm going to call him Father Love. Because to me...
That's Baba Jun, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it's yes. But in Iran, went Father Life. Father
right.
Love,
yes.
Father Life, but it all happened at the same time.
Interesting.
That means the Lord is doing something. He's reintroducing. It's
yes,
not that
that's
way
right.
we learn it's bad. It's not.
Yeah.
Like even Catholicism or whatever we had before, they brought us so far.
Right.
Can I just
that's
go
right.
look back and for 2,000 years, they gave us a Bible.
Right.
They carried it here.
Yeah.
They were, you know... Should I look back and say, that was horrible?
Right, no, and we're thankful,
We are thankful, but now if the Lord is reintroducing himself in a very sweet and gentle and intimate way, let's just go with it. You know, let's just go with that and say, wow, I like to get to know you this way, and I give more of my heart for you to go deeper. That's very important, because we spend so much time to get to know him, sometimes we forget, like, I need to take it easy and say, go deeper here.
Mm-hmm.
You get to know.
Yeah.
There are places here that I didn't even allow my wife perhaps to go.
Sure.
Just go there. Just go as deep. We always want to go deep into him. We don't realize he wants to go deep in life. Go as deep as you want.
That's an amazing prayer, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's dangerously amazing.
I wanted to say it's a dangerous prayer.
It's a vulnerability.
Yeah.
But he wants to change us. He wants to fill us.
Because the depth of me never been loved unless he goes to dare to love, you know. But when he said, I want to go deep, it's not selfish. Like, I want to go so deep because you're eternal. I want to go deep into your eternity and meet you there and love you there. But I'm like, can you just bless me during the time on Earth up to 95?
Right.
Then we have heaven.
Right. I want to do my thing. I'll take your blessing.
But it's like, I can't wait. Can I Enoch walk with God and was no more? I think even when we are talking, I'm realizing how much he's excited, how much I always thought I was waiting for him, not realizing he was waiting for me.
Wow.
Like, it's mostly when Jesus came and he showed us everything is opposite.
Yes.
With us. I want to get to know you. He's like, I want to get to know you.
Yes.
I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting for you. I want you to bless me. I can't wait to bless you. Mm-hmm. It's like,
yes,
this shift.
Let me switch gears just a little bit and ask, you know, we have probably 2.5 million Muslims in America.
Where I didn't know that.
Yeah.
2.5 million.
Yeah. It's a lot. And some people even watching this may have friends or family members or, you know, those that they love that are Muslim. And here you're communicating to a whole nation, basically, of people who've grown up in Islam. How do we share? How do we love? How do we help? You know, the beliefs are so different. I remember speaking with a Muslim man in a mall, and I remember him, and I didn't know this, and he told me, he said, no, Jesus never died. If he was on the cross, he came off. He never died for anyone's sins.
Yeah, because he was too precious to die.
I didn't know that. Right. He was too precious to die.
Allah saved him. That's what
Allah saved him from the cross. Right. And so, but how do you... What can we do? Mm. How can we help, even in communication? Because you could talk for hours till you're blue in the face and not get anywhere with a Muslim in certain areas, right? So how can you help us in even communication and reaching their heart?
Yeah, there are two approaches, the way I see it. Mm-hmm. When I answer, I want to say, I don't have all the answer. But for me, if you ask Cameron, when you said we have 2.5 million Muslims, I just heard the answer, I didn't know even know what you're going to ask, but the answer that I heard was become Jesus.
Mm.
Like, how can I share to Muslim about Jesus?
Yeah.
Become Jesus. And what does that mean? It takes years and years and years to be transformed into part of his image. If it's kindness, if it's gentleness, if it's patience, if it's caring, you know, it takes years.
Yes,
I could play kind, but to become kind.
Mm.
To me, the first answer that the church as the body of Christ, that's our mission anyway, even if you evangelize or don't, you become part of him.
That's good.
We meet where they are at.
Mm.
When the Lord saw me, he said, I will help you go to America.
Right.
When this Lord saw the prostitute, he said, okay, I'm going to save your life now for now. It's like, this is what you need.
Yes.
For me, am I even interested in a life of a Muslim, or do I really want to evangelize?
Right. There's a big difference there.
Yeah. To me, that's the first thing, to become.
Yeah, to love.
To love.
Yeah.
If the whole church in America would say, we're gonna lay down our evangelism sword for a moment.
Yeah.
We're going to love all the Muslim, not just to love them, but we will become Jesus for them.
Yeah.
If in their neighborhood they need a school, we're going to build a school for them. Become Jesus. That's one.
That's a great one.
Two, to communicate. How do you communicate? You always have to go around the system, you know?
Yeah.
And to me, if I was talking to a Muslim, I would say, if it was possible to become a friend of God, would you like it? If it was possible for all your sins to be forgiven, would you like the idea?
That's great.
If it was possible.
Yes.
Because we're all sinners, right? They would say yes. If it was possible for all of your sins to be forgiven, would you like it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Would you like, can I pray for you? Would you pray this prayer after me? I always say, call him the God of Father Abraham, because they love Abraham.
Yes.
When you say God of Father Abraham, you're talking about him. You're not talking about Allah.
Right.
God of Father Abraham, if it was possible for you to forgive all my sins the way that you made the way. These people are saying, you made a way. Mm. If it was, I receive your blood.
Yeah.
There are ways to talk about Jesus without hitting their wall. But yeah. if I go and just say, Jesus is the Son of God, I hit the biggest wall because to them, that's the blasphemy.
Right.
You don't start with that, do you? Yeah, there are ways because yeah. even Quran says Jesus is Kalam Allah. Kalam means word. You could say, hey, it's in your book that your book called Jesus the Word of God.
Mm.
It's in the book. Was any other prophet the Word of God? No.
Mm-mm.
When God himself speaks, his word is himself too. Would you receive Jesus as the Word of God, your Bible, your book said? Mm-hmm. If you want to talk that
sure.
way. Or Quran calls Jesus Ruhallah. Ruhallah means the Spirit of God.
Mm.
They say, would you receive Jesus as the Spirit of God? Mm. Because your book said he's the Spirit of God. you can go around the system
yeah.
and do it. But to me, let's go with the heart of God.
Yes.
Because all these years of evangelism, the way we did, it didn't really pay off as much as we wanted, right?
Sure. Yeah.
How about just say for another, I don't know, a year, I will become Jesus to yeah, these Muslims.
That's really good.
Becoming Jesus, what does he do? He goes and looks for your need, and he meets your need.
Yes.
All the people he healed, he didn't say, first become my follower,
that's
then
right.
I heal
yeah.
you. You need healing?
Right.
You need healing? That's
there
your
you
healing.
That's good.
You need something?
Mm.
You have demon? I'm going to cast it out.
Right.
To become Jesus.
Yes.
Even for in our house, for our wives.
Yes.
The Lord taught us to a degree to become him, mm-hmm. even if it's this much of him, for our wife.
Yeah, that's right.
Or to try to change our wife, you know. To become him, it's again, it goes back to relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Not me getting to know him. You getting to know me, you have more permission in my mm-hmm. heart, you have more permission in my mm-hmm. life. But when I, Matt, when I talk this way, some people get discouraged, like, man, I can't do that in 6 months.
Right.
I can't do that in 3 months.
Right.
You didn't give me 7 bullet points. I can't do it.
Right.
You are asking me to become. It's a journey.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is a journey. Mm-hmm. For God to walk with mankind, look at the journey he had to walk. Still, he's walking.
Yes.
He's God. He could do everything.
That's right.
I send my Jesus, you send, and now my son is going to be sacrificed. And then in 3 days, he's going to raise. We all come to heaven. It's fine. He himself took this journey with us. Why can't I take this journey with him?
Right.
It's a journey.
Yes.
To introduce Christ to people.
That's so good, which is your story. And the story of us all.
Yeah,
it's
story
the story of
us all.
Everyone. It's so
yes,
true.
Yeah.
I remember once for me, the Lord, I would say in a kind way, rebuking me, but helping me.
Pruning
say,
you.
Yes, that's right. Saying, you know, to not debate or argue with anyone before I love them first. It's the same thing, what you're saying. You know, if I can't love that person, I don't need to be arguing with them. I don't need to be trying to convince them of something.
Yeah.
There has to be love. And that's what Jesus does. He is love. He's going to meet needs. He's going to love. And there's no system or formula. So.
And this long journey.
Yes.
He takes his time.
He does. He does.
And he takes his time.
He does. Yeah, not like we would do it. That's for sure. Yeah. Cameron, thank you so much for,
yeah, thank you for
joining me today
yes.
and us and doing this, having you here.
I did most of the talking for
you.
You're
supposed to. That's what this is about. And
yeah.
I love what God has done with you, in you, through you, and still how you just allowing the Lord to go deep into you.
Yeah.
And what's coming out is just amazing water for so
yeah.
many. So
thank you.
And
to encourage you also, mm-hmm. I always saw part of Jesus in you, in your mm-hmm. wife, the way you guys are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your kindness, I mean
mm-hmm.
it. And even in your church, when we come here, it feels mm-hmm. like home.
Mm-hmm.
There's no intimidation. There is no
mm-hmm.
pressure in your church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way I feel it.
Yeah.
You know, Susie and I, we are part of your church.
Yes.
You know, we
yes.
come here. You are our pastor. There's no intimidation.
Mm-hmm.
There is no pressure, you know. And
mm-hmm.
I want to just thank you for really allowing the Lord to really work in you
mm-hmm.
and work in your church. And this is, I call it safe place.
Yeah.
This is a very safe place.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for taking your time for, you know, walking with God. Really, this is an amazing
Thank
place.
Thank you for saying
and
that.
Just bless you and bless your life and your work in Africa, and also your work in Iran. For years, you've been sending your services to, you know, to satellite station that we are
That's right.
You speak Farsi without knowing it because they overdub you perfectly.
It is an amazing. The guy who does it is amazing. He it looks like me on the screen, but it's his voice, and he does
with
a
passion,
fantastic job.
And for years, people have been watching you through their TV, and they've been watching you, but it's compressed version of Jesus in you, and that's really good that we would allow the Lord to, you know, compress Himself in us.
Yeah. I love that we get to do this together in a sense
as well. Yes.
So can you pray for us here and for anyone watching and what's going on in their heart and their journey with the Lord, as well as perhaps friends of theirs that might be Muslim that they want to reach?
Yes, yes. When you say pray for me, I just saw the Lord out kind of, you know, just a picture. Anybody could see it. It's an impression. Mm-hmm. I saw the Lord just like some of you guys been trying to walk with Jesus and work with Jesus, work for Jesus. You're ready, you put your shoes on, because Bible said, blessed are the feet of those who brings the good news. Mm-hmm. You're just saying, okay, I'm going to put my shoes on and I'm going to go evangelize. But I really saw the Lord taking your shoes off and taking the socks off and washing your feet. Before we go, before he sent his disciple, he washed. And that's the intimate moment which made Peter uncomfortable.
Yes.
It's like, no, you're not washing my feet. And if we do not allow him to wash our feet, then we cannot really put our shoes on and then preach the gospel and bring the good news. And that's what I really saw, that to allow the Lord to have that intimate time to wash your feet,
That's really
good. And then that's really intimate. Then you are ready to bring, because you represent the humility of God. Then you represent Him, because through that washing of our feet, He imparts Himself. Yeah. I can feel Him now too. I think my prayer for us is like, if we never washed our feet, if we never allowed Him, like Peter, that don't wash our feet, that the Lord would really wash your feet, wash our feet. Yes. Well, I tell Jesus, hey, wash my feet again. I know it sounds horrible, but I learned, just say, okay, wash my feet again, wash my feet again, and wash my feet again. That's the humility of our Lord Jesus. And my prayer is for all of us and for you guys is to really, as you get to know Him, that you would allow Him to get to know you, because that's the desires of His heart, to go so deep into places that we never been loved. Even you have places, I have places.
Absolutely.
Pick Mother Teresa or Billy Graham, or even Peter had a place had to really... For him to really deny Jesus, to get to that broken place, they say, okay, I thought I could go chop somebody's ear for you or to protect you from dying, but now it's the other way. Okay, he had to be broken to allow Jesus to love him deep. The one that was forgiven much could love much. Again, it's always the opposite of what we think. And I ask the Lord to really minister to you guys, to really love you very deep. And my prayer is for me too. When I drive back, I'm going to say, okay, there are places in me that Baba June, Father Love, Father Life never met.
Yeah.
Never went deep because of my disappointment, unanswered prayer, hope that was broken, shattered. You're like, okay, there is no way. I go to heaven and allow him. No, right here. Right here. Because that's the more we are loved, the more we can love. Deep, deep, deep well in you and deep well in God. You could go drink his well. He could come and drink your well. That eternity would be connected. In Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. You know, Cameron and Susie do a lot, as we talked about today, and there's a lot more to what beyond what we talked about. I know you have future plans for a ministry center and so many things, studio. If someone wanted to learn more about your ministry, how do they do that? How do they find you?
They go to ksmovement.com.
Yes.
And our email is contact@ksmovement.com.
And if you go there too, there's ways to partner with you. They are fully supported by people like you and I that have a love for them as well as the people that they're reaching. And it's money well spent, invested in the kingdom that's touching the world. So I invite you to join them in that. In their ministry as well.
Yes.
And for everyone watching too, just to encourage you to, if you haven't already, to hit subscribe there on the Awake Church YouTube channel, where you may be seeing this, or any other platform that you might be watching this on. Thank you for being part of Into the Deep today with Cameron Urey. Thank you again, Cameron, for being with us.
Thank you.
We love you so much.
I love you too.
Lord bless all of you.